We sleep better when we sleep cool. As the weather is getting warmer, staying cool while we sleep will be top of mind. Organic and natural bedding sleeps cooler than cheaper synthetic alternatives, and they last longer too. A fresh season calls for a fresh start, and that includes your bed. From seriously soft organic cotton sheets to breathable silk and luxurious down duvets, Avocado Green's bedding makes it easy to reset your space sustainably. Perfect for hot sleepers in warmer months, Avocado Green sheets and duvet inserts are naturally breathable and help regulate temperature, so you sleep cool, dry, and comfortable all night long. Avocado bedding is thoughtfully designed and expertly crafted for lasting durability. From reinforced stitching to premium long staple organic fibers, every detail is made to stand the test of time, wash after wash, season after season. We sleep better when we sleep cool, so head to avocadomattress.com today to save 10% on all bedding and 50% on clearance bedding. Avocado, dream of better. Armoire makes getting dressed easy. With a clothing rental membership from Armoire, you can build the perfect wardrobe with brands that are high quality, unique, and recommended just for you. All you have to do is take a 5-minute style quiz and select items from your dynamic, personalized closet. And the styles show up at your door in as little as 2 days. Then when you're ready for new clothes, just swap them out for more new-to-you styles. So I've been using Armoire, and I'm actually wearing one of their shirts right now as I'm recording this, and it's a great idea. You don't have to commit to buying the clothes, but you can really start to explore your own personal style. Like if there's a trend or something that you've been wanting to maybe try but not commit to, this is absolutely perfect. Because if you don't like it, you just put it back in the bag and get something else. Because we've all been there. You open your closet, and even though it's packed, you feel like you have nothing to wear. And with Armoire, that's a thing of the past. They make it effortless for all women to turn heads with stylish everyday looks. You can rent high-quality designer clothing for any occasion, and it's all tailored to your personal style. Plus, you don't have to do laundry, and you don't have to go shopping. It truly could not be any easier. And right now, my listeners can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month, which is up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/ATTWG. That's armoire.style, armoire.style/ATTWG to get up to 50% off your first month and never worry about what to wear again. Try Armoire today. Let me tell you about the online cannabis company that's revolutionizing how we deal with life's challenges, from sleepless nights to stress-filled days. Mood.com has created an entire line of functional gummies that target specific health concerns with 100% federally legal THC blends that they'll deliver discreetly right to your doorstep. And you can get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code ATTWG. It is wild how different each one of their gummies feels. Their sleepy time gummies knock me out in about 15 minutes flat with no hangovers, no grogginess, and I just wake up feeling amazing. Oh, and the Epic Euphoria gummies, they're perfect for those days when nothing's going right and you just need to hit the reset button on your crap mood. What makes these different is how they pair THC and other cannabinoids with herbs and adaptogens. You're not going to just find gummies like this in a dispensary, or anywhere for that matter. And they have gummies for literally everything. Immune support, menopause relief, PMS symptoms, mental clarity, and sexual arousal. And each one is crafted using federally legal cannabis grown on small, family-owned American farms. No pesticides, no BS, and they can ship to most states in the U.S. Best of all, not only does Mood stand behind everything with an industry-leading 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with code ATTWG. So head to Mood.com, browse their amazing selection of functional gummies, and find the perfect gummy for whatever you're dealing with. And remember to use promo code ATTWG at checkout to save 20% on your first order. A young man is having a hard time. School isn't going well, and neither is his social life. Logan Schindelman had been a star football player in high school and was popular and well-liked, so this was a different experience for him. Although the idea of being adrift isn't exactly unusual for someone the year after they graduate high school. But on May 19th, 2016, Logan told his grandmother he had an epiphany about his life. She knew Logan was trying to figure himself out and hoped that this would lead to a breakthrough and him getting his life back on track. But instead, Logan left her home and never returned. After some bizarre sightings the next day, it seemed as though this case would resolve itself quickly. But instead, Logan's family and the small town of Tumwater, Washington, are still waiting for answers 5 years later. When a person goes missing, there's a special kind of pain in the not knowing. I want to tell the stories of those who never came home. I want to tell you the story of Logan Schindelman. I'm Kona Gallagher.
And I'm Ethan Flick.
And this is And Then They Were Gone. Welcome back, everyone.
Welcome back.
Thank you for joining us here once again. This is actually a case I've been wanting to cover for a while because I honestly can't believe it hasn't been solved. I first heard of Logan Schindelman from an episode of Disappeared, and my heart broke for this guy. He's just one of those people who really seemed to have everything going for him until it all started to go wrong. For those of you who follow us on social media, you'll see that I actually worked on this on the train. We were in New York this past weekend. I tagged along with Ethan on a work trip, which was very fun.
I mean, it was, you got to enjoy the city a bit more than I did.
But it was great
having you there, though.
Thank you. But yeah, so I edited our last episode on the train. I wrote this one on the way back. So we are all ready to go because even when I'm out of town, escaping all of my children, I'm still doing this. All right, but let's get into it. Logan Drew Schindelman was born on June 27th, 1996 in Olympia, Washington to Hannah Schindelman. Hannah was a bit of a free spirit, and the story of how Logan came into the world really sounds kind of like the beginning of some sort of romantic comedy. Hannah was in her early 20s when she met Logan's father, a Saudi Arabian man who was in Washington State working as an engineer. And so because he was only here for like this particular project or whatever with his job, he was on a limited visa. So he eventually had to go back to Saudi Arabia. During the short time he was stateside, he and Hannah had an affair and Hannah became pregnant.
Now, you say they had an affair.
No, I just mean like a happy love affair. Okay. Like he wasn't married or anything like that, to my knowledge. I mean, gotcha. I don't know.
Okay.
But no, it was just like, you know, very like romantic.
It wasn't nefarious. It was just.
No, it was just we had an affair. Like it was a very like romance novel.
Gotcha.
Kind of affair. But she became pregnant. So in the romantic comedy version of this story, they would meet up years later. And after a series of mishaps and like probably somebody being left at the altar, they would fall in love and live happily ever after with their blended family, probably in some other third country. But obviously life isn't a romantic comedy. And so in reality, it doesn't sound like the pair really even kept in touch. And I haven't been able to find anything that definitively states whether or not he even knew that he had fathered a child.
Oh, my.
Yeah. So I don't even know if she knew she was pregnant before he left or if like they didn't keep in touch and she found out after and couldn't get in contact with him or didn't want to get in contact with him.
Yeah. But, or maybe she did and there's some cultural issues that maybe he doesn't want to.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Who knows?
No idea. But in any case, I don't even know the guy's name. He has never been in the picture whatsoever. So Logan not only grew up without a father, but I think just as importantly, he grew up without any ties to his Saudi Arabian heritage.
Okay.
Because, you know, obviously, like, he didn't know his father, so he clearly didn't know anybody on that side of the family either. His mother met his father in Washington, so, you know, she had also never been to Saudi Arabia, knew nothing of the culture, and was just in the dark as Logan was growing up. I only bring this up because Logan's racial identity and the disconnection he felt from his heritage was a big part of his life in the few years leading up to his disappearance. And it wasn't only his Middle Eastern heritage that he was disconnected from. Logan's mother, Hannah, was mixed race. So her mother, Ginny, is white, but her father is black. So Logan was one quarter white, one quarter black, and half Saudi Arabian, but he presented as black. So, you know, that's just for people who didn't know his background, they would just assume he was black.
Gotcha.
But by the time Logan came around, Hannah's father and his family, so like the African-American part of his family, weren't really a part of her life. So Logan also grew up without the black side of his family.
Oh, wow. So that's probably presenting a lot of cultural challenges for him.
Well, yeah, exactly. And so like he grew up only with the white part of his family.
Yeah.
Logan had an older half-sister named Chloe, and who I believe her father was white. So I think Chloe's just white. So, like, again, you know, his mom is white, his grandma's white, his sister's white, and, you know, all of the people of color in his family he doesn't have a relationship with.
Right.
And remember when I said that Hannah was, like, kind of a free spirit?
Mm-hmm.
So when Logan and Chloe were both little, she asked her mother, Ginny, if she would take custody of the children so she could attend art school in Seattle. Like when the kids were born and they were little, she already lived with Ginny. So they all already lived at Logan's grandma's house.
Okay.
And so the way Ginny describes it on Disappeared is that she needed to take custody of the kids basically in order to get them on her health insurance.
This is Ginny.
Yeah, the grandma.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's basically why. So it wasn't like Hannah was giving up custody of her kids because she didn't want to take care of them. It was more of just like a logistical.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I've experienced some of that. Not personally.
Yeah. Yeah.
But when I was a caseworker, when I was a social worker.
Right. Yeah.
That was pretty common. So, yeah, I understand where, like, how that home scenario is set up.
Yeah, and so I don't want it to seem like Hannah took off and abandoned her children, because she absolutely didn't. Like, right. She went to school, but then she came back and moved to Olympia, which is, like, just a few miles from Tumwater. So she was always close by. She was always a part of her kids' lives. They just lived with Ginny, and she had, you know, custody of them.
Right, for legal purposes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So Logan grew up at his white grandmother's house in Tumwater, Washington, which is a white town.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. In 2018, like I looked it up, in 2018, it was nearly 82% white and only 1.74% black.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I have to imagine that the number of people who shared Logan's background was zero.
Yeah. Well, definitely with the
Saudi Arabian father. Yes. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, it was literally just him in Tumwater, you know? Oh, and just as a side note, another stat that I found when I was looking that up was that 0% of households in Tumwater speak a non-English language at home as their primary language.
Okay.
Yeah. So like my point is that holy shit, this town is extremely white. I was actually listening to an episode of Armchair Expert right before I was writing this episode, because that's all I did when we were in New York, is I walked around the city and listened to podcasts. I caught up on so many podcasts last week, and it was great. And they interviewed, this episode was when they interviewed Prince Harry, and it was friggin' fantastic, by the way. But anyway, they brought up an expression that they've said before, which is that you don't see the water that you're swimming in.
Okay.
And that really made me think back to when I had originally seen this episode of Disappeared, which, as I mentioned, is how I kind of got introduced to this case. Everyone in Logan's life that they interviewed for that show was super sweet. And I believe that they had the best of intentions, but it was painfully clear to me that they had no concept of how othered Logan was. Like, they just didn't notice the whiteness because it was the water they were swimming in.
Right.
Like, they just didn't see it. But Logan noticed. Logan's grandmother, Jenny, said in that episode of Disappeared, quote, "I know that Tumwater has a tendency to be blue-eyed, blonde-haired, but I don't think he had a hard time being the only black person in our family," end quote.
Sure. I'm sure he didn't have any trouble with that at all.
I know. And it's like, it's cute. And yes, I mean, I'm sure to an extent it's even true, because Jenny really does seem like a lovely woman. And Logan seems like he was close with his family, you know, like it does seem that he had a good relationship with him. I'm not trying to paint a picture like tortured child.
No, but there's definitely some, there's going to be some identity issues there just dealing with his ethnicity.
Yeah, absolutely.
And not having anybody in his family or potentially even in his life that is an influence that is from that particular ethnicity.
Yeah. And I think I did make the mistake earlier when I was describing his family of like referring to his mom as white, which she definitely is not. I mean, I've never, so Hannah wasn't interviewed for Disappeared. I've actually never seen a picture of her, but Hannah's half black. So I'm assuming, you know, that she presents as black, that like, and she definitely had that experience of being mixed race.
Right.
In this small town. Hannah's father's, like I said, her father and her father's family weren't really involved in her life. So she, I'm sure, had a lot of the same issues growing up that her son did.
Yeah. Yeah. And to Jenny's point, mm-hmm. you know, she said that, what was the quote? Like, he didn't feel like an outsider.
Being the only black person in her family. Yeah. So that is interesting. So,
in the sense of familial ties, like, I'm sure he didn't feel awkward about it because everybody's a family member. But I'm sure on some level he felt isolated.
Right.
You know,
and that is interesting with Jenny's daughter, with Hannah being, you know, half black, that she referred to Logan as the only black person in their family. So I don't know, maybe Hannah doesn't present as black. Like I said, I've never seen a picture of her. I have no idea. I don't know how she identifies. I don't know anything. I just know that Logan's sister, Chloe, because there was a photo of them at like Disneyland or something, and she presents as white, I would say. But in any case, like I said, he was very close to his family. His great aunt and uncle lived nearby, and one of his jobs, because right before he disappeared, he had several jobs, and one of them was helping them out on their 5-acre farm nearby. So, and they apparently he's a really like good worker and everything, and they paid him a bunch of money. And you know, plus, like I said, his mom just lived in Olympia. So Logan was surrounded by a loving family. Like mm-hmm. he had a good family.
Yeah. The network is solid.
Right. But despite their best efforts, I can't imagine that Logan never had a problem with being the only black person.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
One of his friends, Dakota, who he played football with in high school, is another person who's extensively interviewed in that episode. And like, bless his heart, he seems like an absolute sweetheart, like a beautiful, clueless cinnamon bun of a sweetie. And I was going to transcribe how he described Logan's relationship with race, but like, I think it's just better if you listen to it for yourself.
I don't think he ever felt he was different because he was African-American, like ever. Tumwater wasn't really like that. I mean, it was predominantly white, but minorities, they weren't like pushed out or like ever treated differently ever.
So he's so sweet.
His whole demeanor is very innocent, but it's spoken from a white person who has never stepped into the shoes of a minority.
Right. And grew up in a small town and just like, yeah, he just hasn't thought of it. That's the thing.
Yes.
He doesn't see the water that he's swimming in. And right. that's all it is. Like, I don't think he has a single bad intent.
No, like, not at all.
At all. Right. And that's just all it is. And I think we just see so, so much of that. And I mean, I really identified with that, with the like his whole idea and demeanor and like everything that he said, because, you know, growing up here in Northern Virginia in a very weird area, mm-hmm. which was like Southern, but like not Southern, but Southern. And we have a lot of like really confusing views on race here.
Right.
And a lot of it was this. It was just like, no, I don't see color. Like, there's so much of that. And, you know, for those of you who follow us on Twitter, like, you see, I've commented on a few things. Our county right now, where we currently live, Loudoun County, Virginia, is all over the news and has been all over the news, over Fox News mainly, for months, because, like, yeah, all of the good white people are like letting their super racist, like transphobic asses show all over the place. And, you know, as liberal as a lot of people are here, I think we just, there's a lot of this underneath, a lot of people who excuse racism by, you know, saying things like, I don't see color and I only have love in my heart, when they're like, like, to like really, you know, putting people down.
And I think fundamentally, we've had conversations about this before, like most white people cannot understand what it's like to be a minority.
Mm-hmm.
So for them to pass judgment on a minority and how they act or how they react to things is absurd.
Mm-hmm.
Because you are not a minority. You have so much privilege, and it's so different. The way you grow up, the way that you're, that you interact with anybody. I mean, not just law enforcement. Yeah, kind of law enforcement, but, you know, to just to have that arrogance to say, I don't see color.
Mm-hmm.
That's like probably meant with the best intentions, but oh my God, I hate that.
Yeah.
Like, it's just so terrible. You don't see color.
So you're just erasing
like, yes,
everyone, basically.
Exactly, yes.
Like, your culture doesn't matter to me.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Yes. That's it's infuriating to me when people say, I don't see color. Like, that's,
yeah.
That, yes. Like, you're just ignoring any other culture in the world.
Yeah, it's pretty intense. But anyway,
which is not the intention of saying that. I know the intention is supposed to be I'm not racist, but by saying I don't see color, you are therefore saying you are racist.
Well, no, it's what's funny is I think you actually hit on it, because you said the intention is to say I'm not racist, but
yes, right, yeah. But there's a huge caveat to it.
It's really how all of these like Facebook comments that I've been seeing over the past month have gone. I mean, they don't actually say it often, but yeah, the subtext is always I'm not racist, but. Let me say this incredibly racist thing.
Right. Yeah. This is not a bless her heart experience, you know, as you know, the like,
yeah. Well, for Dakota, it is.
Well, I guess. Well, yeah.
I mean, he was like, bless his heart. I don't know. I want to think that Dakota is like off, like he's graduated college by now. He like learned a lot since this episode of Disappeared filmed. Like,
sure.
I think Dakota's gonna be cool, but yeah, this story is really full of well-intentioned white people who just don't go below the surface. Because yes, like Logan was popular, you know, he was a star football player in high school. He was friendly, like people liked him. He had a lot of friends. He was one of those kids who got good grades without trying very hard, you know?
Yes, but given all of those things, it does not mean that there isn't something underneath the surface
And it's so funny the way that this episode was shot too, because like right after Dakota says this whole thing, Jenny comes back on, Logan's grandma, and we immediately get this story from her that basically proves that like Dakota's perception of reality is not true. And, you know, basically Tumwater is a place that is real and exists in America, right? Yeah. So the story that Jenny tells is that Logan was at this party his senior year. And basically some drunk kids decided to be assholes and apparently started giving him shit for being black and Saudi Arabian. According to Jenny, they were hurling racial slurs toward him in a joking way.
Okay.
Yeah. Which, again, definitely I have been in many, many situations where white people love doing this. They love like joking around and like being ironically racist, which is really just being racist. But like in the like early 2000s, you could totally get away with this. And apparently it was like one main girl who was doing this at the party. But this party really seemed to be a turning point in Logan's life. He called Jenny to come pick him up. And when she did, he told her, quote, "They weren't even there for me. I thought I had friends, but I don't," end quote. And like that, oh God, that like, that was such a dagger, you know, hearing that. Because that's huge. Like, it wasn't even the girl who was talking shit that he was upset about.
No, it was his friends that didn't back him up.
Right. Yeah. That just kind of passively went along with it. Like, they didn't join in or whatever, but they didn't, you know, shut her down either.
Right.
And I think that Logan came to the realization that night that as much as they'll pal around with you and let you in, at the end of the day, like, you're still an outsider to these people.
Yeah.
So after that, Logan started withdrawing from his friends, like all of them, even Dakota, who wasn't even at that party. They would text him and he just wouldn't answer. And he even went so far as to change the college he was planning on attending in the fall. He chose Washington State University, partly because no one he knew was going there. WSU also apparently had the benefit of a more diverse student body, which, you know, was probably another reason that Logan decided to go there. But like so many students before him, Logan had a rude awakening when he got to college. It turns out that if you party all the time and you don't like do your assignments, then you tend not to do well academically.
I was in that category.
Didn't
have any trouble in high school. Made it to college. Definitely partied a lot the first semester and was placed on academic probation.
Ooh.
I still graduated with a 3.0.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that, you know, it was an uphill battle from the first semester.
Yeah. That's funny because sadly, I did the same thing. I wasn't bad enough to get on academic probation, but my first semester freshman year was definitely my worst grade-wise, and I didn't even party.
Yeah, I was going to say, you didn't start really partying until you met me.
I wouldn't say that, but I was like much older and out of college. I was extremely boring in college.
Some would call it lame.
Yes, many, many would. But it got really bad for Logan, and he was actually academically dismissed.
Oh,
yeah,
ouch.
Yeah. So he washed out and he went back to his grandmother's house in Tumwater. The whole going away to college thing and coming back didn't seem to change Logan's stance on wanting to get away from the high school drama, though, because it doesn't seem like he reconnected with anyone when he came home. Like Dakota talks about, he's like, yeah, I would call him and text him and be like, hey, it's been a long time, haven't seen you. And like Logan just wouldn't respond. And other people said that they would, you know, message him on social media and they could see that he was reading the messages, but yeah, just again, not responding. Instead, he worked odd jobs, including his family's farm, like I mentioned before, and he also worked for a laundry service. I don't know if this happened kind of before or after that whole party, but
before he left for college, he decided that he really wanted to connect with the African-American side of his family. So before he left for college, he reached out to that side and he contacted his great aunt Tina, who was his grandfather's sister, and the two met. The whole reason why this part of the family wasn't involved in Logan's life differs depending on who's telling the story.
Sure.
Ginny says that after she and Hannah's father split, she just like kind of lost touch with that side of the family. She never deliberately kept Logan from them, but they never really made an effort to meet him. So it just kind of, you know,
fizzled out.
Exactly. Yeah. But if you ask Tina, she says that Ginny deliberately cut them out of Logan's life and that they wanted to be a part of his life, but that they couldn't. And so, I mean, honestly, I think the truth is probably somewhere in the middle.
Yeah. And it could just be different perceptions.
Exactly.
Of what actually occurred.
Whatever the truth actually is, Tina was under the impression that Logan was going to keep this meeting secret from Ginny because he was afraid that she'd be upset that he was meeting with this like side of the family. So he went over to Tina's house for dinner and, you know, they looked at photo albums. And according to Tina, he was really excited to see people who looked like him in those photos, which,
I'm sure.
Right? Yeah. Like you can only imagine. But she was incorrect about Logan keeping this whole thing as a secret. Like, apparently he went home to Ginny's house and immediately told her all about it and confided in her. And according to Ginny, Logan told her that Tina complained about her a bunch. And that kind of turned Logan off because he was like, why is she complaining about this person who took care of us from the very beginning?
Right.
You know, so it just seems like there was a lot of like bitterness and kind of drama between the two sides of the family. So while Tina and Logan kept in touch through social media, you know, after he graduated high school and when he went to college, that was the only time he ever went over there. So this is kind of where Logan is in 2016. He got kicked out of school. He's back home in his grandmother's working odd jobs. He's still estranged from his friends, and finding his grandfather's side of the family, while positive, wasn't exactly like a life-changing experience for him. Though Logan and his grandmother were getting along fine, there was some tension in the house. But this was with his sister's boyfriend.
Oh, that's interesting.
Logan's sister Chloe also lived at Ginny's house still, and she had brought her boyfriend to move in with them.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. He and Logan did not get along from the beginning. And from what little information is available about this dude, he kind of seems like an asshole. He actually had a record for felony assault, and it sounds like it was a DV charge.
Oh.
Yeah, not against Chloe. This is like a previous relationship.
All right.
So like there, but that's a risk factor, right?
Yeah. Definitely.
And in addition to his general sense of aimlessness, he has this potentially violent person living in his home. According to Ginny, Logan also started smoking a lot of pot around this time.
Oh, okay.
Well, right. Yeah. And it seems like this may have been something he had been doing recreationally for a while, you know, just as like a kid. But it does seem like it increased after this whole freshman year of college. And Ginny said that it made him slightly paranoid. So while I do hate that every time there's a hint of drug use, a lot of articles in these cases will automatically point to that as a reason for the person's disappearance. But like in this case, I do think it could be at least partially relevant just to go to his state of mind and what was like going on with him at the time. And I should also point out that while marijuana is the only drug that we know for sure Logan was involved with, there have been like hints of possibly others, maybe, but no proof, nothing. It kind of comes up a little bit later. But again, like nothing has ever been proven. Nobody's ever come out and said like, yes, I did X, Y, and Z with Logan, or he bought this for me, or anything like that.
Okay.
But, you know, I think it's important to talk about like risk factors, right? You know, and what's going on in their life right before they disappear. So you've got this violent, you know, person living in the home. You have a sense of aimlessness that could be leading to a depression or in a depression or something.
I definitely agree with you there. I mean, I think that he was just in how he was reacting to his lifelong friends right. up to this point. I mean, that is showing signs of depression.
Right, right. Exactly. You know? Like isolating yourself. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. For sure. And then, you know, I think the smoking a lot of pot and, you know, if that did actually make him paranoid, because, you know, that's one of those things that affects people differently, right? And so some people are totally fine, but for some people, it does affect their mental health in a positive or a negative way, right?
I guess it depends on the quality of what they're smoking.
Sure. But it also depends, I think, on your personal brain chemistry too.
It does. It's funny you bring this up that I read some quote and I'm going to butcher it. It was just today. That said, it was something about how marijuana is not a gateway drug.
It's
The gateway is...
I definitely don't believe that. But
there is no gateway drug. Right. The gateway is your mental status at the time and your socioeconomic status and, you know, all of the factors that go into why you're using drugs to begin with.
Right, right.
You know, it's interesting that you brought that up.
Yeah, and I'm not trying to go all like reefer madness or anything like that.
Yeah, please don't, because there's also no indication of any studies ever that marijuana like is terrible for you.
No, and I'm not trying to say that. I'm just saying that it could potentially have something to do with his state of mind at the time.
Yes, I'll give you that. Yeah.
And so whether it's drug related or not, or if he was on other drugs, Logan was acting a bit strangely right before his disappearance. On the morning of May 19th, 2016, Ginny was getting ready for work. It was around 7:30 a.m. and Logan came in from outside. And so, like, Logan was 19. It was obviously very weird for him to even be awake at 7:30 a.m., much less, like, out of the house and doing things.
Sure, yeah, yeah. And we can't even get our 12-year-olds up before 9.
No, not at all. So... But he had told Ginny that he had been out driving around.
Interesting.
So, yeah. So like very not normal behavior for him.
Maybe I'm jumping ahead here. Mm-hmm. Do we know anything about what he was doing the night before?
No, actually.
Okay. Proceed.
I think he might have been working because I think he worked evenings at the laundry service.
Okay.
But I am not positive.
Okay. I'm just trying to build a timeline in my head.
Mm-hmm.
So 7 a.m.
7:30-ish. Yeah. So he had been out driving around for some period of time.
Okay.
Don't know how long, but he told Ginny that he had an epiphany about his life. And she was like, okay, cool. Like it's 7:30. Like I'm trying to go to work. I want my coffee. Like that. I'm sure this is super great. And we will talk about it tonight when I get home,
mm-hmm.
you know, but Logan wasn't home when she got back, even though she was expecting him to be.
What time did she get home?
I'm not sure exactly, just says like in the evening.
Okay.
And this wasn't completely weird. You know, again, he's 19, he's working multiple jobs. Like it's pretty normal for him to just be out and about, you know?
Sure, yeah.
But when a few hours went by and she hadn't heard from him, she pinged his phone. And so his phone pinged in Olympia, which, you know, is where Hannah lived, his mom. So he was just like, oh, okay. He just went over to Hannah's house, like whatever. And so she didn't think much of it. But a few days go by and she still hasn't heard from her grandson. So on May 22nd, she gave Hannah a call to see what was up. And again, it doesn't say this explicitly in anything that I read, but like I have to imagine she's been calling and texting him during this time and he hasn't been responding because, you know, I don't imagine that she like never tried to call him and pinged his phone and then waited 2 days and then called his mom, you know?
Right.
So yeah, so on May 22nd, she calls Hannah, but Hannah told her that she hadn't seen Logan in over a week.
Oh,
So now Ginny is, of course, like incredibly worried. Yes, Logan's an adult, so it's not abnormal for him to go stay at his mom's without mentioning anything to her. But it, you know, was super weird for him to just take off completely without telling anyone.
Right, but his phone is still pinging in Olympia.
So I'm not exactly sure if it's still pinging in that area on May 22nd.
That's just where she pinged it.
On May 19th.
May 19th, okay.
So Ginny, you know, she starts to make all the calls you would expect her to make to see if anyone has seen Logan. When she strikes out there, she goes driving around town to look for him. When she still has no luck, she goes down to the Thurston County Sheriff's Office to report her grandson missing. But this was a Sunday, and the police station was closed for the weekend.
What?
Yeah. And now, I thought this was funny, too, but I think there's a 60% chance that our police station also closes on the weekends.
No.
You don't think so?
No.
I think we need to, like, check, because I kind of think that, like, if we went over there on a Saturday, like, the doors would be locked.
100% not.
Okay. All right. Well, all right. We're gonna see this weekend. We'll report back. Follow us on social media. I'll put it on Twitter. But anyway, the Thurston County Sheriff's Office was closed for the weekend. And so Ginny had to go back the next day to actually file a report.
Okay.
And this is when we find out that the fact no one really knew that Logan was missing harmed the investigation, perhaps irreparably. So Ginny goes to the sheriff's office and she's giving them all of Logan's information, including the information about his vehicle, which was a 1996 Chrysler Sebring convertible. So they ran the license plate through the system and bingo, they immediately hit pay dirt. The sheriff's deputy tells Ginny that Logan's car had been impounded 3 days earlier on May 20th. So the day after
right.
she had last seen him.
Okay. Where was it impounded from?
It had been found abandoned in the middle of the interstate. Apparently, it was found on I-5 between Tumwater and Maytown, which is obviously not a good sign. But even worse was what was found inside. Logan's driver's license, wallet, debit card, and cell phone. There were even, like, weirdly, like a bag of gas station snacks inside, like power bars and stuff like that. So Ginny's already concerned, obviously, and she has to be feeling pretty helpless at this point because nothing special was done with the car when it was impounded. Logan hadn't been in the system because he hadn't been reported missing by that part. By that point. So the car wasn't treated as a crime scene or anything like that.
Right. No, it was just impounded and inventoried.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But the problem with that is not only was Ginny not notified, you know, that this car had been impounded, but the car, according to them, couldn't be processed because it was already contaminated from the impound process. So a lot of valuable evidence potentially was lost. And this does make sense, but like I kind of do have a problem with this idea in general. And every article that I read, even that episode of Disappeared, they just like presented this as fact. Like the car couldn't be processed because it was contaminated by the impound process. And like, sure, but I get it. There's a ton of cross-contamination. You know, the people who towed it weren't wearing gloves. They weren't trying to preserve anything. But I still feel like they could have done something, right?
Well, yes. You're not going to be able to get legitimate DNA off of anything in there because of the amount of people that have been in and out of the car. However, fingerprints.
Right. I still feel like...
You can still fingerprint The vehicle.
Yeah, and take fingerprints and then take fingerprints of the guys who work at the...
You can retroactively eliminate suspects.
Like, yes, it'll be a pain in the ass, but... Yes,
yeah, it would be a huge pain in the ass, but I'm sure there is some sort of documentation as far as who was actually in the car or who touched the car or whatever.
Yeah, and even if just take everyone who was working that day.
Sure, but you have one crew or one truck, one tow truck that picks up the car, even if it's not related to any police activity.
Mm-hmm.
Towing companies keep records of every vehicle that they tow,
mm-hmm.
so that the owner can come back and find it.
Right, right.
So, you know, you would have that record, which also indicates the driver of the tow truck. So you can eliminate that person,
mm-hmm.
take their fingerprints, match them with whatever fingerprints you find on the vehicle. I mean, it's a tow yard, sure, but it's not like a free for all. It's not like
right. I don't think people are going to be climbing in and out.
60 employees, like, yeah. going in and out of this vehicle.
Exactly.
You know, but you said it was impounded.
Mm-hmm.
So was it impounded by the police?
That's what it sounds like, yes. And so this is the other part.
That's even more secure.
That's what I'm saying. And this is the other part that bothers me because of what witnesses said once police started investigating. And this is why the car was impounded. 3 911 calls were made about Logan's car that day on the 20th.
911 calls, not just...
911 calls, okay. Yeah. Because witnesses said that the car had veered across all of the lanes of traffic on the interstate and then stopped after it hit the middle Jersey barrier. But bizarrely, no one appeared to be driving the car. One caller said that the car had actually been parked on the shoulder of I-5 and that a white man with brown or red hair had jumped out of the passenger side and run into the woods on the side of the highway. And then the car took off and veered through all the lanes of traffic and hit the Jersey
barrier. Supposedly without a driver.
Right.
Interesting.
Well, yeah, but police thought that maybe that man had accidentally knocked the car into gear when he was getting out, right? Because sure. This is probably a stick shift. And that's why I kind of was veering all over the place. And so before I get into what the police did, you know, after this, like, I really want to go back to the fact that police received 3 911 calls, and that's what led them to this car and what led them to impound it. And I get that it didn't seem to be involved with a crime at the time. It just seemed like an accident or an abandoned vehicle or whatever. But I just feel like there's still something that they could have done with this car instead of just saying, oh, it's cross-contaminated.
Yeah. Even before that, I'm wondering what efforts were made to contact anybody with ties to the car. I mean, right. I understand that, like, they're not going to go crazy and go out of their way to find out, you know, kid's grandma.
Well, exactly.
Whatever,
like, I get why they wouldn't have contacted Jenny, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah, but vehicle was supposedly abandoned,
mm-hmm.
and then involved in an accident.
Mm-hmm.
You know, luckily nobody else was involved,
right?
But they also found his ID, his cell phone,
mm-hmm.
right? So maybe there's some sort of investigation that starts there. Like, why did this kid leave all of this stuff in his car?
Yeah.
And then leave?
Right. And so it's interesting because police did search, and it seems like the search was initiated after Logan was reported missing, but I'm not positive. Like, it could have potentially been initiated after the reports from the 911 callers, but they searched a 2-mile radius in the woods where, you know, this whole thing reportedly happened, where the person, like, was parked and then jumped out and ran. And they even used canines and cadaver dogs. So I kind of do think it had to have happened after Logan was reported missing and not, you know.
They're not going to release the dogs off of an abandoned vehicle.
Right, right. Yeah. Even if there was like a weird story about a man jumping out of it.
Yeah.
But they even used a heat-seeking aircraft, but they didn't find any sign of like this man who the witness saw or Logan. And keep in mind, Logan was last seen on May 19th. So though his car was there on the 20th, like we have no idea if Logan was.
Right. There's no indication that he was in the
vehicle. Yeah. So at this point, we don't know. Like we know that all of his stuff is in the car, but we don't know if he is. Because to this day, nobody has come forward definitively saying that they saw Logan after May 19th. A few weeks later, another tip came in, and this one was from someone who was traveling on a road parallel to I-5, and they said that they saw a black man with no pants on, like running around.
On the same day as the car?
Yes.
So May 20th?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so this really started getting people worried about the drug angle, because this apparently... where the man was traveling and where he saw this, like on this road that's parallel to the interstate, was an area with known drug houses.
Okay, but that doesn't necessarily mean that that person was Logan.
Not at all.
Okay.
It just means that if he did see a black man running around with no pants on, it was part of the 1.72% of black people who live in Tumwater. Potentially.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, so like, yeah, I mean, it's one of those things that there aren't a lot of black people. So like the odds are better than if it was just a random white person running around. But no, it does not at all mean that it was Logan. And to this day, again, 5 years later, there's been no evidence that has ever been uncovered that does say that this was him. So at this point, police are looking at all of the angles and all of the possibilities, including the dreaded, he just walked away from his life.
Yeah. Here we go again.
Yeah.
Walked away from his life and he left all of his belongings inside mm-hmm. of his car, conveniently to be found.
Yeah. Apparently, a new post was made from his Facebook account because, you know, obviously everybody... police, family, friends, everybody's monitoring his social media accounts very closely by this point. And so like a post came up from Olympia Airport. And so like that got all excited. And then, you know, rumors started flying around. Some people even speculating that Logan had taken off to Saudi Arabia to find his father.
Yeah, I thought that that's kind of where you were going to go as a possible theory at the onset. It's not outside of the realm of possibilities, but I mean, you know, he had contact with the African-American side of his family mm-hmm. and presumably relatively positive.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like a bit of a stretch to just up and go to Saudi Arabia.
Yeah. With no money.
Not even. Well, I mean, we don't know whether he had a passport, but he definitely didn't have his driver's license.
Oh, no, we do know that he did not have a passport. And so that's why Jenny's like, what? No, he didn't go to Saudi Arabia. Like, this kid didn't have a passport. Like, what are you talking about?
There you go. So he didn't have a passport, so that cuts that out right now.
Right. And the Facebook post, like, it turned out to be a memory from a year before. Like, so it wasn't even a real thing, right? Like, total red herring. There's no indication that he had any idea how to get in touch with his father or anybody in his family or anything. And plus, like I said, he didn't have his passport, you know, nothing.
So he's not going to Saudi Arabia.
No. A more realistic possibility came in the form of his sister's shitty boyfriend. Police had found out about this guy's record, so they brought him in for questioning. But he said that things weren't actually that bad between him and Logan, and that some family members had just kind of blown everything out of proportion. Plus, Chloe and Ginny both said that despite his past, he had never displayed violent tendencies while in their home. He volunteered to take a polygraph and he passed, so police kind of ruled him out.
Okay. Well, I mean, polygraph isn't 100%.
Right, of course, so not even close.
No, that I don't necessarily think that a polygraph should rule someone out exclusively. Right. But, you know, having a history, he's got one charge of DV.
That we know of. Again, he might have more. That's just the only thing that I found mentioned. Because, like, none of the articles even mention this guy's name. So I had no way of looking up anything else.
Sure. Giving him the benefit of the doubt, I mean, you don't know what that DV charge entails.
Right.
It doesn't necessarily mean he has a violent past.
No, I'm going to say, yes, it does mean he has a violent past, but it doesn't mean he has a violent present.
All right.
But in any case, they rule them out. And so over the next year, the Tumwater community really banded together and they sold stickers and raised $10,000 for a reward for information in Logan's disappearance. But despite this, I mean, leads just really dried up. Logan's family didn't give up, though. They kept on putting up flyers and posting on social media, and it worked. On June 26th, 2017, just over a year after Logan was last seen, they got what may have been their best tip yet. A witness came forward and said that she had seen Logan's car on the highway on the day he went missing. And what's more, she says she thinks she saw Logan.
Okay.
According to her statement, two white men and a black man were standing at the back of the car. She was driving, so like she didn't, you know, see a whole lot. You know, she didn't see whether they opened the trunk or not or anything like that, but she did get a good look at one of the white men. He had scraggly blonde hair kind of cut into a bowl cut and was wearing what sounds like a crop top and very small jean shorts. I don't know. The whole description sounds weird. And the sketch is downright terrifying.
I'm sure.
It's like, I'll show it to you. It's like insanely scary. It's like so creepy. All right, hold on. Okay, so I'm going to show you the sketch of this guy.
I wouldn't even call that a bowl cut.
No, that's like a very generous term for whatever the hell this is.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Like it's, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know.
Show me that video again of, his friend, like the kid.
Oh my God. Don't bring Dakota into this. He had very long, luxurious hair.
Well, that was...
All right.
A different time, but just okay. Show me Dakota.
No, I don't like your face.
Sorry, honey. Sketch looks a lot like Dakota.
The eyes?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, but...
No, not just the eyes. It's the eyes, it's the nose. Whenever this interview was taking place was years later.
Yeah, a few years later.
So his hair... has changed, but I mean, it's only gotten longer. Doesn't necessarily mean it changed. Yeah, I don't know, hon. I could be wrong.
Yeah, I mean, like, let's not start accusing.
I'm not accusing anybody of anything, but I'm saying that sketch looks like Dakota, given the facts of the case. I mean. You have a witness saying that they saw Logan with a couple of white guys, and that sketch is close to Dakota. I would look into Dakota.
Okay, but he hadn't been talking to any of his friends.
That doesn't... I mean, he hadn't been, but who knows if he did that night?
Yeah.
Do we know? Did they pull cell phone records?
They did. They ended up... Yeah. They did. And so they didn't
They're
find...
not going to release anything, of course.
No, yeah, of course not.
You know,
the only thing that they did release were like GPS records, basically.
Okay. Well, that's interesting.
Yeah. So no identification came from this sketch. We have to say in all caps.
I'm not saying it is Dakota. I'm just saying it looks a lot like him.
Oh, my God. All right. Well, so the woman, this witness, she didn't get a good look at the second guy, and so they didn't release a sketch of him. And that was in 2017, and to this day, no trace of Logan has been found still.
I'm sorry, what was the timeline on the witness? So this is May 20th.
Yeah, so she said that this was that day, but again, she didn't come forward till a year later.
Okay, so...
So all of this is, you know...
All right, so we don't have an exact time.
No.
Daytime?
Yeah.
Presumably?
Yeah.
So sometime during the day, mm-hmm. the day after he was last seen, not when he goes missing.
Right.
But again, it's a year later, so...
Yeah, so who knows? I mean, it's just, that's tough. Like, it's great that she came forward, you know, because that's what we hope for in all these cases, right?
Absolutely,
like, that's the whole point of publicizing them and keeping them out, right?
Yes, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's hard to say how accurate any of this is.
You have to take that witness's account with a grain of salt, because mm-hmm. a year has gone by, this was... Somebody driving past a stopped vehicle on a highway.
Right.
You know, I've driven Route 5.
Oh.
It takes you into Seattle.
Mm.
So I haven't driven that stretch of mm-hmm. Route 5, but it's a highway.
Yeah.
So.
Presumably you're going fast.
Cars driving fast.
Yeah.
So you might not see everything that you think you see.
Right. Some members of Logan's family do believe that the identity crisis he was going through led to him simply walking away and starting a new life. But, you know, I hate this idea for basically the same reasons that I always hate this idea. Like, no wallet, no money, no car, no phone, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
We go over this in every case where that's a possibility. Like,
I hate it.
It's absurd to just think that somebody's just going to leave all of that stuff behind.
Yeah. Plus, he also had a severe peanut allergy, and he didn't even have his EpiPen with him. Like, stuff like that, you know?
Where was his EpiPen?
I think it was just at home.
Was that also in the car?
No, I think it was at home.
Okay.
But also, he had trouble, like, successfully finishing his freshman year of college. So I have a hard time buying that he has been able to disappear willingly without a trace and just stay gone for so long.
Yeah, I would agree. I would also say, you said he was born in 96,
mm-hmm.
so I'm going to sound like an old man here, but like that generation.
Oh, God.
I mean, they don't stay off social media.
I mean, I guess.
I don't stay off social media.
All right.
I'm just saying, like, it's not like the cases before where you have somebody that's like, in their 40s or mm-hmm. 50s or however old Hoagie was, who mm-hmm. supposedly walked off or whatever. Like, you know, who knows if he even had a MySpace account, let alone a Facebook account.
Yeah.
But like you said, friends and family were monitoring his social media mm-hmm. accounts and nothing happened.
Right.
I just don't see that.
Yeah. I mean, that's not, I just don't think it's as easy to completely disappear as
right.
some people think it is, especially when you've lived, you know, not that he lived like a completely sheltered life, but I mean, to an extent he did. Like, he grew up like in a small town with a family and, you know, like, it's just, he wasn't living on the streets. He wasn't this streetwise kind of kid who was just used to getting paid under the table. I don't know. It was just, I don't know that I necessarily buy it.
No, I don't buy it at all.
Yeah. And so another theory, of course, is the whole drug thing. Some people think that he either ran afoul of some drug dealers that he owed money to, or he overdosed on something.
It wasn't weed.
No. But there's also just no evidence that Logan did any harder drugs.
Right.
Or that he was involved in anything that truly would have been dangerous. And yes,
right.
like any time you're buying drugs, whatever the drug is, and you're involving yourself in that world, like, yes, your risk factors do go up.
Yeah, but I mean, pot dealers.
Right. No, I know. So, yes, I mean, his risk is greater than zero, but sure. Like,
but
I wouldn't call it high either.
Yeah. Yeah. This guy isn't screwing over the Colombian cartel.
Right. Right. One more reasonable theory is that mental illness came into play. As I mentioned, Logan had been acting a little bit paranoid recently, and his behavior on that last day that he was seen was out of character for him. Whether it was because of the drugs like Ginny things, or because, you know, 19, this age, 19, 20, 21, like that is the age where a lot of mental illnesses, especially in young men, uh-huh, that have not presented themselves up to this point, do start to present themselves. And so that really could have been a factor. And we don't know if it is, but I mean, to me, out of the theories, that's
the most viable.
Right? Yeah. Like, this is a very reasonable one for me. And I should also, and this again, because I mentioned before that there was GPS data, police were able to get Logan's cell phone records and it showed his movements from that day. And his phone.
Yes.
Was basically just driving on the highway, like north, south, like just going back and forth until his car stopped where it was eventually impounded.
Interesting.
Yeah. Some people theorize that he parked his car and went into the woods to take his own life, and that the dogs and the heat-seeking aircraft and everything else simply missed him, because from what I understand, they were dense woods.
It's Washington State.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
It's basically a rainforest.
Right. And we I've never been to Washington State, so, you know, I knew that intellectually, but I didn't really have much of a concept of that. And I still don't, because I've still never seen it in person. But when we did the Kyron Horman case, mm-hmm, because he also went missing from this area, and I looked at the aerial photos of the land next to his school, and it just boggled my mind. I mean,
yeah,
you know, because I think of the schools around here and like maybe you get like four trees and that's it.
Yeah, well. Yeah, this is also a former swampland. So
right.
It's a little different.
It's totally different. And so, yeah, like, and especially even here, like when I think of trees on the side of a highway, we're not talking a difficult terrain to deal with here.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so like, that's the vision that I had in my head when I'm reading about this. I'm like, oh, trees on the side of a highway, like, you can take care of that in 10 minutes. But again, Washington State is just a whole different ballgame.
Oh, yeah, so yeah, yeah, absolutely.
A lot of people think it would be incredibly easy to miss somebody.
Sure. The only issue that I have with that is that, you know, if we're going off of the theory that he was in his car,
mm-hmm,
that gives you a limited entry point into the woods.
Right.
So it gives you a limited search area.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's only
because
so
I would imagine
far.
He's not going to walk 10 miles
before cutting into the woods. No,
it's yeah.
Probably the entry point is going to be probably somewhere around his car.
Right.
Which gives you a search radius.
And they did. They searched in a 2-mile radius.
Yeah. And maybe they probably could have, should have expanded that. But I don't know the circumstances behind the search. And maybe they did and they just didn't release how much they searched. Like you said, it's not like this person is going to go, it's not like Logan's going to walk 10 miles and then decide to cut into the woods to take his own mm-hmm. life. If we're talking about mental illness and something happening at the car to trigger something, he's probably going to storm off right there, go into the woods right there,
mm-hmm.
and maybe not take his life right away at the edge of the woods. Maybe he continues to walk, but I don't know. I feel like they would have found him.
Yeah, it's so hard to say. Yeah. It really is. Others, of course, believe that it was foul play. Logan's uncle is a retired police officer, and he believes that the sheriff's department cleared the boyfriend too quickly.
Yeah, I just don't know enough about the circumstances of his background to pass judgment on it.
Yeah, neither do I. But the uncle doesn't seem to place much weight on polygraphs. And, you know, he thinks that...
I agree with that as well.
Right, exactly. So he thinks that the boyfriend could still be involved.
Yeah, great that he was willing to take a polygraph.
Right.
I said it, you know, initially, I wouldn't have cleared him right away. But,
right.
You know, it lowers him on the suspect pool for me, but it doesn't eliminate him.
Other people who could be involved, of course, are the men that witnesses saw around Logan's car, but law enforcement has no idea if they were involved or if they know anything about Logan's disappearance.
Or even who they are.
Right. Though it is telling that nobody has come forward in the 5 years since his disappearance and said, oh yeah, like I was there, I was with Logan, but then he left, or, you know, whatever. Nobody has come forward ever admitting that they saw Logan on May 20th. Ginny and the rest of Logan's family haven't given up hope that they'll find answers in his case. They hired a private investigator to look into his disappearance. They paint rocks with Logan's information and a link to their Facebook group, and they leave them on the hiking trails so that anyone who may see something on a hike can report it. The reward has increased to $15,000, and they still put up posters all around town. Many people in Tumwater and around the area still sport Find 29 stickers on the back windows of their cars, with an illustration of Logan in his football uniform. Logan's family is still actively looking for witnesses or anyone with information about his disappearance. There's a post on the Bring Back Logan Instagram account that spoke about rumors that people know more than they're letting on. It says in part, quote, "If this is true, I would implore you to reconsider your choice to remain silent. You cannot imagine the daily stress, emotional pain, and depression Logan's family and friends are experiencing. We would not wish this on anyone," end quote. Logan Drew Schindelman has been missing from Rochester, Washington since May 19th, 2016. He was 6 feet tall and between 150 and 190 pounds. He was of mixed race, black, white, and Saudi Arabian. He had black hair, brown eyes, and a small scar on his left forearm. He was 19 years old when he went missing. He would be 24 today. If you have any information about what happened to Logan Schindelman, please contact the Thurston County Sheriff's Office at 360-786-5500. You can see all the sources for this episode, along with photos and videos, at our website, andthentheyweregone.com.
And be sure to follow us on social, And Then They Were Gone Pod on Facebook, and at @ATTWGPod on Instagram and Twitter. If you like what we're doing, please subscribe and consider leaving a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. It will help new listeners find us. And the more people that listen, the more chances we have of bringing someone home.
And we'll see you here next week for a brand new episode.
See you next week.
And Then They Were Gone is hosted by Kona Gallagher and Ethan Flick. All research, writing, and editing is done by Kona Gallagher. Theme music is The Stork by Ketza. Additional music is provided by Kai Engel. And Then They Were Gone is a Little Monster production.
Hey, you can do it!
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Member Week is here at Lowe's. Don't miss your chance to get up to 40% off hundreds of items like paint, stain, tools, flooring, and more. Shop our exclusive deals happening in-store and online from May 8th through May 14th. Not a member? Join my Lowe's Pro Rewards for free today and get ready to save more. Lowe's, we help you save. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Want to keep your personal number private but still stay connected? With Line 2, you can get a second phone line right on your device with a super simple app and no need for another phone. Whether it's for online shopping, dating, or shielding your main number from spam, Line 2 is an easy way to manage it all. Ready for peace of mind without breaking the bank? Call, text, block, and more for only $9.99. Get started with line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in any app store today. Line 2, your second line simplified.